a new mindset. And I'll get into that following the reading of scriptures. But I think it's an area that many of us, if perhaps not all of us, need to really begin to pay some attention to, if not serious attention to, in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, simply reading verse 5, Paul gives a challenge. He tells the church, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now again, as I say a lot of times in these kind of comments, the very fact that that is said to us tells me we can do that. The very fact that we're told, let this mind be in you, that was in Christ Jesus, tells me we can do that. We can have that mindset. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, very familiar. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to stop there just long enough to say this. I would encourage every one of you who do have a study system, how you study the Word, I would encourage you to do that. Do a study on those three verses. Look at every word. See every word. Find out what every word's talking about. And then put it all together, what Paul says there. And it will truly begin to change your life. Now, this message came to me as a result of my own condition, in that last year and a half, or maybe a little longer than that or so, I really, truly allowed my mind to get in a terrible shape. I allowed my thoughts to just go crazy, saying things I never would have thought I'd hear myself say, whether saying it to you, saying it to my family, or saying it to my God. Just crazy things. I went through so many different experiences, mindset-wise. Seeing a doctor every week, every month, 2, 3 doctors, 4 specialists, every single one of them telling me something different. None of them telling me anything good. And it just plagued my mind. Now, I want you to know this happens. I know it's not supposed to happen to us spiritual people, but it happens. We can get into some bad shape if we're not careful. And I'm going to share with you just what the Lord has shared with me concerning all this, and what He spoke to me, I'm going to speak to you. And that is, it's time to build a new mindset. If we are going to experience breakthrough out of the old ways and get re-engaged in the right way with God, we are going to have to change the way we think, or the process of our minds. There's something, I'll just give you these little statements before I go, just to say that, because we'll be building from them. We need to know certain things about breakthrough. For one, breakthrough is always preceded by breaking free from some kind of bondage, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever. Breakthrough always is preceded by breaking free from something. Now, most people, and I believe this wholeheartedly, but most people have the will to break through. Most people have the desire to break through. But few there are who will process what they need to process in order to break through. Breakthrough doesn't just happen because we got saved 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Yes, some certain things happen that are eternal. But not everything is eternal in the experiences we had through salvation. And so today I want to look at one, addressing this thought of rebuilding the mindset. Because, no, I can't stop. I want to stand up. Thank you, Lord. Yahweh's purpose in dealing with the mind, and the Word of God is full of it. His purpose in dealing with the mind is not that his people become complacent, stagnant, self-satisfied, or lackadaisical. That's not the purpose. God's purpose in dealing with the mind is so we will become, as I said, not complacent, but compliant. That we become flexible, moldable to the Word of God. You know, who's that stuff called? You guys ever used that silly putty, I think it was called. You could smash it and you could stick it on a book. And when you peeled it up, it had the picture on it. That's what the Word of God tries to do. We got to stick ourselves to it, and when we pull it off, that's what we have, the Word of God on us. Because the mind is perhaps one of the main places you and I need to be engaged and aware of what's going on all the time. Now, I don't know about you. I got to the place that I'm tired of getting through something. And every time I turn around trying to get through something, trying to get through this statement, trying to get through this reaction, trying to get through this problem. I'm tired of going through. And my prayer to God is simply that I can experience a breakthrough. Because I know that's what it's going to take. And I think that some of you, many of you, had the same type of mindset, although you may need it in different areas. Now, we need to realize that in order to live and walk in the anointed power of the Holy Spirit, something we need to realize is we have to live according to our new nature. Which, if you don't realize it, has already been energized by the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, then the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And we need to live according to that energized spirit within us. Paul stated this to the church in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 2, he said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely, that have freely been given to us by God." There's things God wants you to know. And there's things that he actually doesn't want you to know. But either way, we got to get to a place that we're ready to know. And we're ready to work the work. What does it take to build a whole new mindset? I will tell you this. Although it's doable, it's not easy. It's difficult. Particularly if you are going through anything mind-wise, like I had dealt with over the last year and a half or so. Now, I thank God that I'm not where I'm going to be at the finish of this. But I thank God I'm not no place near where I started at the beginning of this. But it doesn't just happen. Doesn't just take place. So I want to briefly share some of the major keys that will assist you in living such a life. Getting this mind change. Getting this new mindset. First thing, or one thing, it's not an exhausted list. It's just a starting place. Fourth major keys in developing or building a new mindset. Number one, we have to live according to the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that's been in Christ, which tells me it's optional. I don't have to let it. But I can let it. It's a decision. Do I want to let it? And if I want to let it, how do I let it? How do I let the mind of Christ? I mean, that's a big challenge to me, church. Let this mind be in you. Now listen, unlike your spirit man, when you're born again, your mind is not automatically adjusted. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's not a one-time experience. It is an ongoing process where we have to study God's word to make sure of where we're at. How important is this subject? Every New Testament writer writes about it. Paul told the church in Rome, be transformed by the renewing how of your mind. James said in his writings, receive the engrafted word which has the ability to save your soul or mind. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, for as much then as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. All the writers of the New Testament bring this challenge out. And the importance of this challenge is understood when you realize that your mind dictates all of your actions. And all your reactions in life. You do nothing that doesn't first go through the mind. You have to think on everything you do, every way you react. Your body can't do it until your mind sends messages to the various parts to do whatever it is you want to do. Simply put, to function with the mind of Christ, we must act and react the way that he did in any given situation. And I'm going to tell you again, that's not easy. It can only be done by heeding Paul's advice to the church of Ephesus, where he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So to begin with, we've got to permit. And again, it's our decision. Don't go to God praying, do you want this to happen? He wants it to happen. You've got to make a decision if you're going to let this happen. But that's not the end. I told you, as much through this process, these four things will get you there. Not only must we let the mind of Christ be within us, but secondly, we have to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Living according to the mind of Christ involves what the Word of God declares as casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought. Now, the sad thing, the truth is, the confession of many today is, I can't do this. I can't do that. I've dealt with some people through the past that would tell me I can't do that. And I would ask them when they ever tried to do it before. And they said, well, I can't do it, so I've never tried before. Well, at least give it a try. At least try to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Because watch what happens. Paul prayed to the church of Colossae, your pastor's wife and I pray this on a regular basis as part of our prayer over the church. He prayed this to the Colossians that I hope you get a hold of. He prayed that the church would be strengthened with all might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Now, the word translated might there is the word dunamis. And dunamis is a word about power. But it's a word about can-do power. I can do this because dunamis lives in me. I tell you, if you wanted to be, see, and thank God they didn't do it. But back when I first started in ministry, if you could get a hold of some of the tapes they did it, well, some of the messages they did in them days, you'd have thought, whatever made him think that he could stand up and preach? I didn't know much about the Bible, I'll be honest. I knew very little, but I had a calling. And I wasn't about to say, I can't do this until I at least tried to do this. And now today, minus some complications, I think I got through it all pretty well. I got a good understanding on the Word. Got a great understanding on people. I don't need my wife telling everybody what I just said. And she did that for a couple years. She would literally sit in the middle of a church. One Thursday night a month, my district overseer let me speak for him, which was huge in them days. District church, new man. And one Thursday night every month, he let me speak. And she would sit in the middle of the church, surrounded by people who every time I said something, they would look at her and she'd say, this is what he just said. And she would tell them. I couldn't pronounce things right. You think I speak bad now? My God. I couldn't pronounce wording right. I couldn't understand reading the King James, save my life. I got all that stuff mixed up, but I refused to quit. Why? I had a call. And I'm not going to quit this until God says your call's done. And you got a call. And this is why you have mind battles. Because the enemy wants to do everything he can to get your call out of your mind and get you away from thinking of it. There's no such thing as we can't do it. We can do it. I tell you what I like to do. I got to move on. I didn't want to get stuck in nothing. I would like to bring just the Church of God, every Church of God pastor in this church that is pastoring the church running 60 people or less. I'd like to bring every one of them pastors in this church to sit up on this platform and have you guys share what this church does annually. And every one of them, I'm telling you, I know this for a fact, every one of them would sit there and say, our church could never accomplish that. Church, we accomplish everything we set ourselves out to do. And it's no different with you working for God. You've got a call. You've got an empowerment in you. The power is not given us just to sit down and feel good. It's to work a work that can't be worked through carnal means. Paul said, cast down. This dunamis refers to the exact same miracle-working power that Christ functioned in. In short, you've been given the same power to operate in as Christ himself did. You've got can-do power. Whether you have rational thoughts or irrational thoughts, regardless of which one you have, you need to evaluate your thought patterns and make sure of this one thing. Make sure the way I'm thinking is in line with the Word of God. I'm telling you this because I know by personal experience how to get from that messed up mindset that I was in all that time. It'll wear you out. It'll wipe you out. But a renewed mind built? I haven't gotten to where I'm going to be yet, but thank God I'm not where I was last year. I'm not where I was 6 months ago. I'm not where I was last month. But at the same time, I'm not where I'm going to be. But I know one thing, I'm going to be there. I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to tell you, if you, like me, have run into a place that your mind's gotten messed up, it's your fault. Nobody else's. But watch this now. Make sure that you're in line with the Word of God in your thinking. If your thoughts are leading you away from the path that God has placed you on, then reject those thoughts and turn them into the type of thoughts Christ would have. That is what it means to bring your thoughts to captivity in Christ. I make my thoughts the type of thoughts he had. Now I am attacking, I'm casting down things that don't line up. I'm putting away things that don't belong and pushing to develop the mind that was in Christ. A third major step is, in line with bringing the thoughts to obedience, we need to tear down the stronghold of unbelief. Somebody say amen. It feels good. What's the stronghold of unbelief? What's it take to have a stronghold of unbelief? You have to not believe something. You need to doubt until you don't believe no more. And then that unbelief becomes a stronghold and you just can't work no more. And I'm going to tell you how strong this is. Unbelief is strong enough that it stopped the miracle working power of Christ himself from doing it. That's serious power. And I tell you, every time I think of Mark 6, I think, I don't know how many people in Nazareth didn't believe. I don't know how many people in a congregation does it take to not believe. I don't know how many people in a household it takes to not believe. But I do know this. Unbelief can hinder the work of God in yourself, in your church, in your house, in your family, wherever. Unbelief is a great power. Let me just say this. One of my surgeons said that my knee can never, ever be fixed, my right knee, until they come into this other ability, which I don't know if that's ever going to happen. And he said, how do you feel about that? I said, I don't feel nothing about that. And he said, why? I said, because I don't believe that. He said, I'm telling you, Pastor. I said, no, what you're telling me is you don't have the ability to fix what you messed up in my knee. And I said, but that doesn't mean it can't be fixed. And I told you, a year and a half or more ago, all these reports I was getting just put me in my mind in a terrible shape. But I thank God for showing me these ways of coming out of that. And unbelief is a powerful thing. I mean, Christ was in his hometown. And they said that because of unbelief, he could not produce many miracles, but that he was able to simply lay hands on a few folks and heal them. But he couldn't do what he wanted to do. Listen, Christ was ready to heal. He was there to heal. He wanted to set the captive free. He was in town to set the captive free. He wanted to liberate those that were bound. That's why he came to Nazareth. But unbelief shut the people of Nazareth out from receiving what God had planned for them. Again, I don't know how much unbelief it takes. I just know unbelief can do it. And I know you need to bring this stronghold down because of this. Let me say it this way. A stronghold is any place where Satan takes up residency and promotes his program in your life over God's. That, my friend, is a stronghold. And if one exists, you need to pull it down. And you need to force it to obey Christ. That's how we rebuild. And then lastly, I think of all of them, tell you the truth, this has been This has been my hardest area that I'm dealing with. Because I know how I think it's supposed to be in life, but I also know how it is for real in life. And that is this fourth major step of bringing your emotion under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because although a lot of people don't realize, I am a very emotional man. I'm highly strung. I pastored a church in Smithfield. And I had a clerk, good man. But he was, and this was back in the mid-80s, back when all the shouting and all that was going. And he was one of the most reserved people I ever seen in my life. And I asked him one thing, I said, how can you stand there when the power of God is moving in this place the way it is, and this entire church is about to turn upside down? How can you just stand there? And he said, well, Pastor, I'm not a man of emotions. And I said, okay. I guess that fits for me. About a month later, I got a call from his wife. He had bought a brand new Cadillac. And he loved that little car. His wife said, Pastor, can you come to the house before my husband gets home? I said, sure. I went over. I said, what's the matter? I told her not to take his car, but my daughter took his car. And I said, well, where's the car? It's up the road in the ditch, and it's destroyed. And I said, oh, my God. Her husband walked in the house, and he said, Pastor, you hear something wrong? I said, no, not really, not for you. And he said, well, I said, well, sit down. I said, I got to tell you something. I said, but being you're not an emotional man, I told the women, you don't have to worry about nothing. I told him what happened, and I knew he wanted to blow up so bad, and then he couldn't do it. And I looked at him, I said, look, it's okay for you to go off if you want. I said, but don't tell me you're not emotional, because you're burning right now. But me, I am not an emotional man. And so my emotions started getting to me. And I came to realize not only was the Holy Spirit not governing my emotions, I wasn't. I was letting my emotions run wild. Until I got into this process and had these couple things here renewed to my spirit about bringing the emotions under the control of the spirit. Many believers fail to walk in the power of God because they live their life based upon their emotions. If everything's going good and they're feeling good, they're happy, they're upbeat, they sing praises unto God. Let them experience a reversal. And the 50 good things you just experienced this month, it's as though they never happened. And in your mind, your emotions start running wild. And you don't know what to do. I've got to close. Let me tell you this. And the thing that frightened me the most, I think, was when I came to this realization about the emotion. If you don't let the Holy Spirit govern them, if you don't work on building a new mindset if needed. There's going to come a time that you're to become so discouraged. You may come to a place that you just flat out begin to doubt God. And you even may begin questioning your experience with Christ. All because of the way we let our mind think. I do want to say this. If you need to be able to read a new mind, you're not alone. There's a lot of good people you're with. Listen to this list. People such as Abraham, Sarah, David, Elijah, Esther, Peter, Paul, James. All these people lived with those experiences. But they all, through the power of God in them, conquered those experiences, those times. Church, I want to tell you something. There's a reason. There's a reason these things happen to us. And the number one reason is this. The powers of darkness have a fear of you. And they are concerned what's going to happen when you get through this. They're concerned not just about your life. They're concerned about the lives you're going to change. And the people you're going to change. And this is why the enemy, the powers of darkness, do everything they can to get us in the mind. Think about this later on. When the serpent came up to Eve in the garden, what did he attack? Her thoughts, the way she was thinking. And he got her to adjust her thoughts. And that's all it took to bring her down. Don't let the devil get your thoughts, but rebuild your mind. Rise up with me if you would. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you would just take this word and let it rest upon each of our hearts, becoming new seed in our soil. And now we ask that the grace and peace of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, would rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence, and bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, if you stay in the word, to keep you from worry. God bless you.